Well, if you'll bear with me, I've just got to welcome and introduce to you all my kinfolk, my niece Melanie and her husband Kevin over here, and with my two great nephews Dominic and Daniel. And why don't you guys stand up so everyone can see you? Just baptized Daniel yesterday, so yeah. So, as you all know, there are all kinds of feelings out there after this presidential election. But I think that probably there is one feeling that is common to us all, perhaps, and that might be exhaustion. I mean, you know, it seems like it's been 2 years of, you know, suffering through so-called campaigning, and the amount of money and resources wasted in that is scandalous. I mean, why can't we be like Canada? You know, like our Canadian deacon over here. You know, I mean, I understand that in Canada, they've got 3 months to do all of that, and then it's done. That's it, you know? So that's the kind of reform I would like to see. But how appropriate it is then that right after this presidential election that we Catholics who belong to a transnational faith, because Catholic means universal, how appropriate it is that we celebrate and worship today the one to whom we pledge our allegiance, Christ our King. And the Word of God today leads us to reflect on our King's platform and what it means to be citizens of His kingdom. Beginning with our first reading, where we hear about King David. Now, we can learn an awful lot about Jesus when we read about David in the Old Testament, because David is a type of Jesus. That is, he is a foreshadowing of Jesus, because Jesus is the son of David. And just as the Israelites say to David in our first reading, "We are your own flesh and blood. We who are baptized are one flesh and blood with Jesus, our King. Because through baptism we have been made parts of his body." And so he is truly our King. He represents us. And we belong to him. We are to represent him. And the Israelites go on to say this: "In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you, David, who led Israel on its campaigns. And to you it was that Yahweh promised, 'You are to shepherd my people Israel and be leader of Israel.'" So what an interesting acknowledgement that is. That even though Saul was officially their king, David was the one who in fact led them. And so, no matter who lives in the American White House, Jesus is the one that God has given us to be our shepherd and leader. And no matter which American political party holds sway, Jesus is the one we turn to as our ruler. For if in fact, as St. Paul says in our second reading, that we have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, well then, let's act like it. Because we know what he stands for. We know his public and private policy. There's no secret about it, because it's all revealed in the Gospels and summed up in the Beatitudes. And to the extent that that is our program as well, is the extent to which we will be identified as those who belong to the kingdom of God's beloved Son and no longer remain in the dominion of darkness. Now, What our King stands for is typified in our gospel today. Because there we see our King on his throne, not sitting on top of a pile of Clinton wealth or on top of a Trump tower, but on the jagged peaks of Calvary, and his throne is the cross, where he identifies with the depth of human suffering. And there, a criminal rails him, "Save yourself if you are the Christ." And soldiers mock him and say, "Save yourself if you are the King of the Jews." And the rulers of the people scoff at him and say, "Save yourself if you are the Christ of God, the Chosen One." Yes, criminals, soldiers, leaders all say, "Save yourself." But they don't get it. Because Christ our King is not interested in saving himself. He wants to give himself. He wants to sacrifice himself without a shred of self-interest or self-defense to save others, both his friends and his enemies. And the way he saves them is through sacrificial love. Not the violent way that the criminal who scolds him and says, "Save yourself and us as well," would probably do it. Not that way. Now, lots of people who are infected with the original sin of self-interest do not want a king like that. But the testimony of Scripture tells us today that he is the image of the invisible God. That he is the head of the church. That in him, all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. Now, you know, we can find fault with President Obama and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And there are plenty of faults to find in all three, and in us as well. But hear the testimony of the other criminal, the one who became redeemed, about Christ our King. He says, "This man has done nothing wrong." And so for us who call ourselves Christians, everything rides on our allegiance to Christ our King. And if we give our allegiance to anything else, we risk someday hearing the rebuke of that redeemed criminal that we heard in our gospel today, who is at the side of the throne of our King, when he said, "Do you not fear God?" Amen.
Amen.